Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. I have every Tuesday an open forum for anyone who would like to call in to talk about any issue at all that they may be experiencing, anything that they may want to discuss about the injustices in this country, however you want to do it. People complain a lot about the injustices that go on in this country, and yet there's so many people that are not talking about it, not doing anything about it, just complaining. So I try to give everyone an opportunity to come on to talk about whatever they wish to talk about. And unfortunately, we don't see that happening enough. So I have to bring up a lot of these issues myself, and then people call in. Sometimes people call in at the very end, which makes it very complicated. Tomorrow, I'm going to have on with us a guest who is very familiar with mental health issues in this country, and especially in the United States. And I would like to just let everybody know, we will be discussing separation by incarceration, and we will be discussing other issues of mental health, the insufficient mental health services that are occurring or not occurring in this country. We'll be talking about the mass incarceration, including those serious mental illnesses, and hopefully everyone who listens in will be calling in to learn more. I'm going to just take a brief second to shut this window. Thank you. I don't know if it helps much. Hold on. There's always construction or landscaping going on in this place. But anyway, getting back to all of the things that I was just speaking about, one of the things is, in order for change to occur, people have to speak up. And Donna Winnett will be coming on tomorrow as our guest to talk about the mental health issues. We know there are so many other issues that are going on. We know that there are issues not only with the mental health, but also with addictions. We also know that there are many wrongfully convicted behind those prison walls. There's just so much. And it's not only behind the penal system. It's also in the country itself. We have legislative members that can't come together to make wise decisions to actually help or work for the American people. I hear that word so often, and I'm sure all of you do as well. The American people. We're doing this for the American people. We're doing this. You know, it's like two parents in a household that are conflicting all the time, that are fighting all the time. It's almost like the children are going to grow up learning from the parents. Well, that's the way it is in the United States of America. The children, the youth, not only seeing all this division, but seeing all the injustices. We have to wonder, what are we doing? Sometimes children, as I say, the youth, are expected to be adults, and other times the government and the families and the people in society want them to be kids. Make up your mind. There was a time when these youth were children right up until the age of 18, and many of them who went on to college were still considered children, even at the age of 21, 25. Now, the way this country is so divided, so dysfunctional, so disgusting, that these kids are growing up getting all these mixed messages. And many of you who are teaching your children hatred, these kids are growing up hating people they do not know simply because they have parents who are so ignorant and who grew up the same way, that are not willing to break the cycle. Break the cycle, parents, because you may lose your children They may grow up hating somebody they do not know until someday, even if we were to have a civil war, it's going to be the good and the bad that are going to be harmed. Your children could be harmed as well as those who are you are trying to destroy. And that's the same in the penal system. People are incarcerated. No one knows their situation. No one knows what caused the situation. Everybody thinks because somebody is a victim that they were the good guy and the others were the bad guy. There are good and bad in everybody, and that includes those in prisons. And unfortunately, a lot of innocent people are harmed because of people who are out there giving mixed messages, raising your children to hate people, raising them to use and abuse and deprive, raising them to lie and deceive. That's why many are in prison, because they got into relationships that were toxic. Like the young lady that caused her boyfriend to commit suicide. There are many, many out there, but yet society doesn't look at them. They look at the person who did the crime. And unfortunately, if those people that do the crime were to have succeeded in committing suicide as their mate or their spouse or whoever wanted them to, they would have been looked at as a hero, or they would have been looked at as a poor, sad situation. But because it backfired, they're serving life and life without parole, or they're on death row. We have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses, and we have an epidemic of addictions, and we have an epidemic of people that are getting mixed messages, mainly the youth, the children. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing our government talk about the American people and the youth. And because they ended up acquitting a 17-year-old kid who was walking around with, what do they call those, assault weapons, and shot two people during a protest because he was a child, they acquitted him. He came from another state. He had a weapon he shouldn't have had. And they acquitted him. And how many have we seen since that acquittal? How many youth have we seen with mass murders that have gone out there and actually killed a lot of innocent people, including the children that were recently killed and the teachers? And what are we doing? We're listening to these government officials talk about gun control. And they're still, many of them, especially the Republicans, are still not willing to do something about gun control. And those that are talking about gun control, they're talking about raising the limit of these kids from 18 to 21. These assault weapons should be banned completely from anybody that is getting a license to carry a weapon. They don't need an assault weapon. If they need a weapon to protect themselves in their homes and keeping it locked up in their homes, let it be a regular weapon, but not an assault weapon. Because there's only one meaning that's going to be used, one reason, but yet our government officials have no clue what they're doing. They don't know how to go about gun control. I don't think anybody should carry a weapon under the age of 25, first of all. I don't think anyone should be able to carry an assault weapon except those who are protecting the country. And I even question sometimes law enforcement, because we have so many people in law enforcement that are taking advantage of their titles and their authorities and the weapons they carry. And I think when somebody, especially all of these innocent people that have been shot down by law enforcement, I think the very people, when they find these law enforcement officers guilty of what they did, get them off the police force completely. Ban them. Do you know that there are prisoners who have informed us that there have been correctional officers who have been fired for wrongdoing, and the public thinks that they've been fired completely, but they have been moved to other prisons and many of them are working in clerical in the office, but they have not been completely removed. And the media reporting all the time, one-sided stories, they need to get their rear ends in the prisons, and they need to start talking with these prisoners. They need to get the facts. There was an accident in Massachusetts a couple of nights ago where a police car ran into another car. The cars were smashed and both ended up in the hospital. The police officer was a little bit more serious. His situation was serious, but the other person didn't get serious injuries. But the media kept focusing on the police. The police officer, they mentioned very, very little about the person the police officer hit. What would they have done if the person died? It was not the person's fault. The police was heading, they say, to an incident where there was a weapon involved, an armed weapon. And I understand police have to get there quickly, but I'm sorry. When they cause accidents, the media needs to report both sides. I kept waiting to hear the name of the innocent person the police officer ran into. They never even to this time have not mentioned the person that was hit in his car. And I don't know how many times they talked about the police officer's car, how damaged and how the police officer ended up in the hospital. We have, and there was the media, I mean, he's talking, there was one that's talking from a country club. And he's talking about, he was due to report something at the golf course. It wasn't anything violent. It was something, as a matter of fact, it was probably something positive. But he was just all smiles because he was at a golf club. And he made an effort to say it, I don't know how many times. The media has their own motive for not reporting all the facts. They have their own motive for not reporting the truth about what goes on behind the prison walls. But this message I want mainly to go to our government officials, our government leaders, who have been put in authority to make decisions, who have been put in leadership positions to evaluate what's going on in their environment, what's going on in their communities, what's going on in their country. We don't see these politicians visiting the prisons unless it's time for election. They might go and they might visit a few prisoners and a few prisons to make themselves look good. But if they're really sincere and doing the right thing, and if they realize how blessed they were to be able to be in a position where they can do something that a lot of people are not doing or don't want to do or can't do, to make it a habit of visiting the prisons at least 3 times a year and meeting with prisoners directly. And when prisoners get upset and they tell you what they want to see happen, to you, it may seem like, who are they to tell me what to do? They are the ones experiencing. They are the ones that have the knowledge and experience of all the abuses they're asking you to work on. Prisoners have been so frustrated because no one has been there for them that many of them have committed suicides around the country. Many of them are contemplating suicide. And I'll tell you, many of them are afraid to go for medical or psychological treatment while incarcerated because the contracted agencies that are working with the Department of Corrections around the country, some of them have permanently damaged prisoners, permanently damaged them unnecessarily. Prisoners have talked about it. And this is why a lot of these people that are incarcerated are not getting the help they need. And what do? The Department of Corrections, they manage to let the ones out they know are going to reoffend, so we can hear from them that this is why harsh treatment needs to be kept in place. Hard on crimes, that's what we hear about all the time, which is a crock of bull. if anybody should be harsh on crime, it should be the crimes that are committed by the prison officials and correctional officers. They need to stop focusing on the real hardcore criminals, because there are many people in uniform that have done so much, and they've gotten away with it. A lot of them have gotten away with it because everybody focuses on the good ones, and the good ones are too afraid to talk about the bad peers in uniform. So a lot of people being affected by law enforcement are blaming the good ones as well, because they're too cowardly, afraid to report abuses that are occurring from their peers. I have a relative in law enforcement, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that do have relatives in law enforcement or are in law enforcement themselves. But I also have a loved one that's incarcerated and got a life sentence without parole unjustly because of a racial issue. And that is another reason why we have so many people incarcerated too. Because this country, called the United States of America, has a lot of work to do. A lot of, as you might say, renovating. Because there's so much racism in this country that they can't get enough justice, or they can't do enough to an individual to satisfy them. So they manage to make it an ongoing issue where that person or those people behind those walls are being punished all the time, even though they have been sentenced to punishment of life and life without parole, or sentenced to death row, or sentenced to 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. This country has a lot of wrongs to make right. And unfortunately, the ones that pay the most are the ones of color. I'm not saying that all just of color. I'm saying there's a lot of Caucasians as well, Indians, Arabs, blacks, the black, brown, beige, and red skins are the ones that pay the most. And now we're living in a country that's so multiracial that I don't know how such racism can occur. I come from a family where all of my siblings interracially married. English, Chinese, Spanish, Irish, Italian, Lebanese, African American, Indian, Cape Verdean, which falls in the category of African American, Hispanics. So that's why it's so difficult to try to understand how many, and if you're listening and you're one of them, how you can be like that. Because it's not about the skin, it's about the pigmentation, yes, which causes the skin color. But it also depends on where you're raised. Some places the climate is different than other places. When you go down south in the United States, you're coming into Florida and Louisiana, you're coming into all of those hot areas. In the north, it's cooler. We have more cold weather than they do down south. Well, that's the way it used to be. But now we're looking at global warming because of environmental concerns, climate change. And here, another thing, the government talks so much about the problem we have with climate change, a serious problem, but yet we're still seeing them shooting all those missiles up to Mars and to Venus and all of these planets and all of these heavenly places, polluting the air more so than the cars on the ground. I just feel so bad that I'm living in this country, opening up a show to anybody and everybody that wants to call in and talk about these issues. And everybody's so quiet. Not a word. Pitiful. I don't feel bad for anyone who has a lot of talk about the complaining, about what's not happening or what's happening, and yet keeps their mouth closed like a child when they have an opportunity to speak out. Maybe the changes won't happen, but you won't know if you don't try. And I'll tell you, a lot of people, I'll say this too, there's a lot of people in this country that are so insecure, they're afraid to speak out because they're afraid they're not going to say the right thing. They're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing and lose their friends or their peers. But I'll tell you one thing, I thank God that he gave me the ability to be independent and not have to worry about what other people are going to think or say, because that's being a leader, not a follower. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in politics who have that ability to do something, and yet they're afraid, just like you, just like many of you who don't want to say anything. They have the ability to make changes. They have the upper hand, and yet they don't have the knowledge or the wisdom or even the sense to know. They don't have to bow down to other people. Speak their peace. If they see something wrong in this country, talk about it. You turn the news on today and all you're hearing about, other than sports, which nobody, not everybody in the country is into sports, but we're bombarded with sports. We're bombarded with this whole Trump issue with the Republicans and Democrats. We're bombarded with the coronavirus and all these other epidemics. And we're bombarded with crime. Let's try to be bombarded with these issues that the prisoners are trying to get out, the concerns, the issues that they are being subjected to. You never hear anything about them. You hear about them committing these crimes and sentence. Their punishment is sentenced to prison, but you don't hear about all the injustices making them victims as well. And many people, 90% of the people behind those prison walls were victims at one time, were victims themselves of something. And if people took the time to do their research or even to write the prisoners or even to talk to people who are advocating for the incarcerated or to listen to these shows, then they will know what's going on. But no, they choose to stereotype. Anybody behind those prison walls is nothing more than a criminal, hardcore criminal. How many of you have heard of people being sentenced to death on death row only to find out after they have been sentenced to death and have died that they were innocent? But you don't feel bad about that. The media doesn't talk about these things because the media is getting all these benefits, all these kickbacks for keeping their mouths shut. They don't need to be reporting anything if they can't report everything. So this show will go on with or without the cowards who are afraid to come on and speak their piece. And I have told so many people they can come on just to criticize me, to say something negative about me. They can, I'm not afraid like you are with your peers. In addition, I'm not going to stand by and see all this injustice. I'm not going to stand by and see people suffering because people like yourselves are too afraid to speak out or too afraid to ask questions or too afraid to do anything but gossip. You will go behind, you will listen, but then you will go behind and you will gossip about something you had no guts to come on and talk about. And I say all this, and I'm not saying it for you. I'm saying it on behalf of the incarcerated individuals who have no voice. They look to us to be their voice. And many of you who have loved ones behind those prison walls, I'm ashamed of you. I belong to groups on Facebook, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of groups. And I hear mothers complaining. The mothers are complaining that their sons are asking or their daughters are asking for too much money every month. And some of them are saying they don't have it. Some of them are saying they send it on a weekly basis. You know something? When they ask for all this money, go on the internet and type in drugs being smuggled in by guards, because if you're paying all this money to your loved one, then that money is going somewhere, but not on food, not on canteen. I know prisoners for a fact that have been incarcerated for years and years and have never asked for money from anyone, some of them returning money when it's been sent to them. They know they committed a crime, and they know they have to pay the consequences, and they don't expect others to pay for them. They don't expect others to pay for them. The way you can pay is to be out there speaking out about the issues that your loved one is going through, not by buying them off, by sending them all kinds of money to make them think you care, because if you really did care, you'd be doing more than just sending money to your loved ones. There are issues going on behind those bars that need to be disclosed, exposed. Even former correctional officers have come out, have left their jobs or retired, and have talked about the issues that you should be talking about. They have talked about the abuses. They have talked about the corruption behind those prison walls. They have talked about the corruption going on in the penal system. I can see why a lot of people incarcerated have stumbled. They have stumbled because they don't have the family support that they should have. Writing to a person, sending money to a person, is not enough. It's not gonna get you any points. It's not. All it's gonna do is empower those in uniform more. For others, and perhaps the money you're sending to your loved one could be selling for the correctional officers or could be using for themselves. But in any case at all, when you send $70, $80, $100 a month, something is going on. I've been an advocate for too long, and I can guarantee you there are advocates out there that will say the same thing to you. There are hundreds of advocates, thousands of advocates out there that will say the same thing. And there are prisoners out there that will tell you the same thing. There are prisoners that will tell you the same thing. If you're sending your loved one money every month like that, then they're using it on something. They're not using it on the things you may think they're using it on. I felt bad for one mother. She said her son got so upset with her. She had enough money to either go and visit him or to send it to him. So when he asked for the money, she said she couldn't send it because she was going to use it to go see him. And he got upset with her. And she was posting it on the, I think it was, I don't know what site it was, but it was one of those sites where the mothers formed the group, Mothers of the Incarcerated or something. I would never send that kind of money if I was sending any at all. Even my own loved one refuses, since the day he went in, refuses to have me send money. And if I had sent it in the past, he would send it back. I bought him a television when he first went in, and they transferred him to another state after he got sentenced. And when they transferred him, I went to get the TV. After an hour's wait, they said they couldn't locate it. Since he's been incarcerated, years later, they did the same thing. He got another television, and they took it. And now, the third time, they've taken it 3 years ago, and he's without a television again. But because they've taken so much from him, he refuses to take money because he said they're only going to take it anyway. They're only going to take it anyway. So he has been, for the last 3 years, since the coronavirus, he has been on a block where they've kept him and others because of the coronavirus initially. But no politician has advocated to see it stop, unnecessarily put on a block he shouldn't be on, had all of his belongings taken from him. 3 years in a cell, 22 hours a day, with practically nothing very little, because our leaders are not doing their job. I have to say there were a couple of legislative members, state reps, that did go into the prison and visit with them a couple of times. And unfortunately, and they've gone to other prisons to visit, but unfortunately, not all of them do that. A couple of them. Some of them will sit at their desk and make phone calls, and they'll find out that they're being lied to, and they just drop it as though it's nothing. You don't hear anything from them after that. How many of those prisoners that committed suicide? I feel so bad. I feel bad for them because their lives must have been so terrible, and they were probably so afraid and so hurt that no one was advocating for them, that no one was helping them, that they felt they had to do something that strong. I bet people don't even think about the people in prison that have committed suicide. They probably haven't even thought about it. Oh, there's another one that committed suicide. And then it goes in one out of sight, out of mind. Instead of thinking about, we need to do something about these suicides. You know, what's causing it? Or are they even suicides? Are they alleged suicides or are they actual suicides? Did somebody else do it and set them up? I even heard from an advocate one time, this was a few years ago, that Aaron Hernandez did not commit suicide. Prisoners back then were saying that they took him from his cell that morning, the authorities, and they brought him back late that night. They don't know where they took him to, what they did. But again, he committed suicide. How many more have to die? And the media, as far as I'm concerned, the media is a piece of crap. The media is not informing me of anything. See, we learn the real news when we actually get out there and do something. We see it. We hear it from the very people that are being affected. With the media, they talk about the dogs and the cats. They talk about the whales, the sharks. They talk about the birds and the bees, the country clubs. They talk about who did whose hair and whose salon is where. They talk about the sports, which they, at one time they didn't talk so much about sports because they had stations just for sports alone, for people who are interested in hearing news about the sports. And then they had the weather stations. And then they had the stations pertaining to children and adolescents. Now everything is crammed up in a half an hour's news broadcast. And how many people do they have in that half hour reporting on the same station? Five, I think maybe five, all young. One might say 10% of the news, the other might say another 10% of the news, make up that half hour. But you don't hear repetitive news in other countries. They report news and they move on because they know there's so much happening out in the world. They know that we can't just keep focusing on some small minor things. The people reporting in other countries are for real. And the happenings, the news going on in other countries is for real, as it is in the United States. Unfortunately, people don't get a voice unless they come from the elite. Prominent backgrounds, positions behind the government. You know, when I pray, I'll tell you, when I pray at night and when I pray in the morning, I thank God for allowing me to come before him any time of the morning, noon, or night to pray. I don't need to make an appointment. But in politics and government, even with an appointment, you can't get one. You can't even get a hold of the person you're trying to get in politics. You talk to their aides, and half the time the aides have voice messages. We can go before our Creator any time of the day. Every day, every week, every month, we can pray to Him. We can ask for help for our loved ones. We can ask for forgiveness for our sins. We can pray on behalf of other people, where I don't even think politicians consider praying or even helping in many cases. And then we have these advocates. Oh, do we have these advocates that look for people who know people or who are going to be getting lawsuits for millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars for wrongful convictions, or people that have a lot of support behind them or are well connected in the prisons with other prisoners that can bring business to them? Those are the advocates, the legal advocates that we have in Massachusetts, and I'm sure the same thing in other states. Who you know, what you can do for us. There was a prisoner in 2011 that was assaulted and beaten severely by four guards. He contacted legal services, and they took the case. However, they never met with the client. He asked them over and over and over again to view the video, which would have shown everything. They never requested the video. And after the department had their own internal investigation and dismissed it, the legal services also dismissed it without ever meeting with the client, without ever viewing the video, without even leaving their office. Do you ever wonder, when they take a client, they're getting funded. They're getting funded for a specific amount of clients that they have and what they're doing for their clients. Is anybody overseeing the work that they're doing? Because this is where thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars are going into these nonprofit organizations, receiving funding, taking on cases where they're not doing anything, holding on to those cases for a few months, doing absolutely nothing, and then closing the case. This is happening all too often. The corruption is not just in the government. The corruption is also in a lot of these organizations who claim to be doing something. And they're either picking and choosing who they want to take, or they're putting in false reports, putting in false claims for funding when they're not really doing anything. There was a paralegal that was sent one time to the prison to meet with the client. And when the paralegal got to the prison, the guard said the prisoner didn't want to see anybody. This is a paralegal from a legal firm, legal services, didn't want to see anybody. So instead of her saying, well, I'd like to hear that directly from the client, she just left. She just left. Now, why would a prisoner be asking for somebody to go see them if they didn't want to see them? Why would a paralegal, somebody from a legal organization, a legal firm, not have enough sense or not be trained to ensure that the client receives the services that they are reaching out for? If a prison guard is telling you the person doesn't want to see him, and yet he's calling the prisoner, the legal services to come because he's being deprived, denied, abused, or whatever the case may be, then they should know if the prisoner is asking them to come because of the effects from the prison officials and guards. Why would you listen to the very people the prisoner is reporting? But these are how these legal services operate. They don't care. As long as they can put a name down in their records, so they can get funding, that's all that matters. They know that nobody is overseeing or auditing them. That's what they need, is more audits, more oversight, not just in the prisons, but in government, in legal firms. They need oversight. Nobody seems to be having any oversight. And everybody seems to be getting away with an awful lot. An awful lot. And who, in the long run, who's ending up paying the consequences? The prisoners. Then we wonder why so many suicides. Why so many suicides? Let me ask you, if it was your child, how would you feel? How would you feel to know that these things are existing and so much corruption out there and not being able to get any help? And your child is being permanently damaged through the medical, the contracted medical providers. Even they now are becoming employees of the department, and they're going to listen to the prison officials. There's many prisoners out there across the country that are even afraid to get medical treatment because they're afraid of what they're gonna, the outcome is going to be. I just know the people that I bring on the show, they know. They know more than many of you because they are actually experiencing it. They are actually advocating for them. They are actually interacting with the people behind the prisons, the DOC, the commissioners, the correctional officers, the other officials. They're actually meeting with the prisoners. The people that come on this show are highly experienced, more so than the legislative members that are out there talking until it's time for election, and then they're doing very little but enough to let people see them making a visit, doing a few little things to get there. Look at, I'm going to say Joe Biden. I'll tell you, Joe Biden would have been, he would have been good. I wish Bernie Sanders had gone in, but Joe Biden, he's in. And all, since he's been in with this Ukraine and Russia thing, everything has been focused on Ukraine. Maybe Ukraine needs to come to this country, and this country, the people of this country need to move out. But now that the election time is coming up, now we're hearing from our president about the economic crisis and about what he's going to do. I want everybody to realize NATO consists of many countries, not just the United States. We have sent so much in weapons and money and everything else to Ukraine that we in this country are now suffering because gas prices are sky high, food has sky high. People can't afford their rents. They can't afford to do anything. And we were already in an economic crisis when Trump left. Things were not good. And now they're so bad, and we had a president and a vice president who made so many promises, and now everything is being spoken up. Everything now is being discussed when the election time is coming. And I am hoping that it's not too late. I'm hoping it's not too late, because the last thing we need to do is go through what we went through before President Biden. But you're seeing it all over again. You're seeing the mass shootings. You're seeing the crisis with the economic area, in the economic areas. The crisis. The mass shootings. Innocent children being. And here we got a government that's focused on arguing back and forth about gun control when it should automatically be dismissed. And they should automatically prevent any child. I would say don't even give anyone a weapon or license to carry until they're out of school, whether it be high school or college. In most cases, until they're 25. That's all they have to do. They talk about, you know, background checks to make sure somebody is not mentally ill. How do they know about mental illness? Do they have psychiatrists and psychologists with the gun control, with the NRA? Do they? Because psychiatrists and psychologists can't even tell really when somebody is mentally ill, because a lot of people are stable until something happens. Until something happens and they lose it. Depression. Many people can be in depression and still operate normally when they're trying to get a weapon. That's sad. There's many people carrying weapons in law enforcement and government positions other than law enforcement, in high places, in schools, teachers, in other positions, other areas of employment. There are so many of them who look normal, and we're finding out years later that they have psychological issues too. There was a political leader recently that was found out that he was violating children under the age of 14. They just started talking about it. And these police officers that have done something, like even beating their wives, and they talk about the person being, the police officer being under stress. And the one that was accused of molesting a family member, what did they say? He said he's sorry when they confronted him. He was sorry and he wanted to get treatment. How many people behind the prison walls were sorry for the crimes that they've committed and want to get the treatment outside the prison, just like this police officer wants? And we haven't heard any more about that, so we can imagine how he went for help. He'll be out in a few months for getting treatment, he'll be on the street again to do some more harm. How many people in prison have said they were sorry for what they've done? First-time offenders who were doing very good before they committed their first and only offense and got a life and life without parole sentence. But yet others in uniform or with titles, they can go for treatment because, oh, they're sorry. They will never do it again. They need their help. Everybody said, oh, he's a good guy. He's a police officer. He's a good person. He's never done this before. You know, all these. What about these people that have never done it before who are in college or who were in the military, came home with PTSD? And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in prison who are being diagnosed by medical providers with the DOC that have no clue, no experience diagnosing all of these people with post-traumatic stress syndrome, diagnosing a lot of them with antisocial behavior. What is that all about? You know why? Because PTSD is a reason for people to have to someday be out of prison. PTSD, if given treatment, the appropriate treatment, can be healed and released. But if they're diagnosed with antisocial behavior, then there's a whole lot of people that are antisocial. Antisocial behavior. And I'm going to say another thing when it comes to single cells. If people are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, if they're suffering from antisocial behavior, why in the hell would they be put in a double cell? Why is our penal system, our Department of Corrections officials, forcing individuals to be double-celled when they have evaluations, when they have diagnosis of antisocial behavior or PTSD? Or bipolar syndrome, bipolar disorder, any of these things. They shouldn't be double-celled. They were able to close down Walpole Prison in Massachusetts. Why? Because what they're going to do is they're going to be double-celling these prisons, packing them in another prison or other prisons where it's going to be impossible for anybody to have single cells. I'd rather see more prisons and prisoners being single cell than to see less prisons and have them all cramped in like sardines, only to stress them out more and cause a lot of chaos and riots and murders. But yet, if they cramp these prisoners all in these prisons, double selling them, they keep the dysfunction going. They keep the fighting going, and they're able to keep their philosophy, or not their philosophy, but able to get others like the media and the government officials to believe that they need to be hard on crime. They need to be hard on crime because these prisoners are fighting all the time. They're acting out. Well, would you be normal? Would you be acting out if you were in a cell no bigger than a bathroom and having two people in it, you and another person? Because that's what's happening. Listen, people, we live in a society where we couldn't stand to be in our own house for the last couple of years because of the coronavirus. House, apartments, three or four rooms, not one little bathroom. And how many of you were so furious that you didn't want to stay in the house? And as soon as you decided, or they decided, to open these clubs, everybody was out at these clubs and still are. That's the tolerance you had for being inside your home with all these rooms and expecting prisoners to be normal when they're being double-celled in a room, a cell no bigger than a bathroom, a small bathroom. But again, it's not happening to you or your family member. And I can't wait for the day that God decides to turn it all around, and you will see, because it says in the Bible scriptures, he will reward accordingly. There was a time when I didn't have any affiliation with prisons, and I thought the same way a lot of you felt. Anybody behind those prison walls, they're criminals. They deserve to be there. And throughout these 20-something years, 25, 26, 27 years of advocacy work, I have learned I was totally, totally wrong. There are people behind those prison walls that deserve to be out in the streets, and there are people out in the streets that deserve to be behind those prison walls. There are people in politics that deserve to be out in those prison cells where there are prisoners who deserve to be in the position of government. But nobody knows, because nobody visits with these prisoners. Nobody cares, because it hasn't happened to you or your family member. But again, I guarantee it's going to happen. It happened to me. To lose your home, to lose a good job, will not lose it, but give it up, because you're working with public people, public figures, and people in need. And now all of a sudden you're put in the place where you need. People can have everything and lose it all in a day or two. So all of you in politics, all of you listening that have something that you just don't want to lose by messing up with your peers or siding with people who the majority of society looks down on, I got news for you. It can happen to you in a split second, at the blink of an eye. As I always say, it happens like lightning can strike anywhere, anytime, and anyone. But the thing is, if it ever happened to you, would we be there for you, knowing that you deprived other prisoners, that you deprived others from getting the help? Unfortunately, I have to say yes, because I don't pick and choose. I just try to help whoever is in need. The thing is, regardless of what they've done, because I know that no one was born bad. And anyone that's behind those prison walls, somewhere along the line, they were failed by either their parents, their communities, they were failed by our government, they were failed by anything, disabilities. There were people in the prisons that are 80
94 years old, 92 years old, can't even take care of themselves, yet they refuse to release them. There are people in the prisons who are disabled, in wheelchairs, can't do anything, and they refuse to release them. There are prisoners who have been begging to be productive while incarcerated and have been denied at every area. And they have told our legislative members, they have told people, and no one cares. No one has gone in to meet with these prisoners to ask them, what have you tried to do? Who has deprived you? Who has denied you? None of them have talked to the commissioner to find out why they will not allow this person or these people to be productive, why they deny them all their offers, all their requests. You know why they deny them? Because they don't want them out. They've targeted them. They're depriving them so that when the time does come for parole, they have nothing to show for what they've done in all the years they've been in, because the government officials have denied them and the government legislative members has refused to question any of it. And the legal advocates are too busy picking and choosing those they want to provide services to. There are prisoners out there that have filed their own lawsuits, civil suits for being deprived, trying to do it on their own. And what's happening is, in the middle of their lawsuits, they're being put in solitary confinement or on restrictive blocks. And the Department of Corrections officials file motions to have their cases dismissed. And because the prisoners do not know they're doing this, they don't respond to the courts, then they lose the lawsuits. Who's going to be there for them? I'm going to tell you, these are my last words before this show closes. You may not care about those people behind those prison walls. You may talk a lot and do absolutely nothing. But I am one that can tell you for a fact it can happen to any one of you at any time. And if it does, I can't feel sorry for you. I would definitely be there to help because I have an organization that advocates for prisoners, regardless of what they've done. But I will do it because I have seen too much of you all just ignoring it all as though it was nothing. There was a time when those people were born and so many people would say, oh, they're so cute, you know, playing with them. But when they get older, it's a different story. We have these people talking about pro-life, and yet they could care about lives when they go behind those prison walls. The way I look at it is, if you're pro-life and you can't be there for those people incarcerated whom the parents kept alive, didn't abort, if you can't be there for them, then don't be talking about pro-life with these abortions, because you have no business trying to get people to keep their children when you're going to be at the other end doing this kind of thing, ignoring their pleas for help. I'm going to close this episode now because I get upset when I even talk about these issues that you all should be upset about. And I hope that God rewards all of you accordingly. And I hope you have a good day. And I hope you'll think about it and maybe try to reach out organization. You can find, if you want to participate or be involved, you can go on the internet and you can type prisoner advocates in whatever state you're in. Prisoner advocacy organizations. Call them and tell them that you'd like to help. And a lot of the work that we do is virtual. Many of us don't even have to leave our homes. You can write letters. You can make calls. You can send emails. And prisoners can receive emails for 25 cents. So I'm going to leave you with that. And how you decide to spend the rest of the time you have, either helping, hurting, gossiping, is up to you. We all someday will have to go before our highest power, our maker. And I want to be on the good side when I do. So we are now going to close this episode. Thank you all for listening in. And again, I hope all of you gain some wisdom. And I thank God for giving many of us wisdom.
We are now going to be closing and looking forward to our guest tomorrow, Donna Winnett. Thank you so much.